Good morning and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McElyea, your host today. I'm glad you've joined me. We're going to look at some events going on around us this morning in the Brotherhood, and then we're going to be turning our attention this morning to the 25th chapter of Acts as we continue our study through the New Testament. And this morning we're going to be considering those events there in the 9th chapter. But before we do that, we want to notice again some of the things going on around us. And of course, with it being summer, that means it's time for the various summer camps. And this year, Camp Ida is underway. You can go to campida.com for information. The contact number is 903-609-9791. Underway right now is Session 1, which began on the 5th and runs through the 10th tomorrow. And the director is Brother Robert Osborne with the theme of Like a Tree Planted by the River of Life. Session 2 will begin on the 12th and run through the 17th. The director is Ross Hafner, and the theme is New Testament Heroes of Faith. Session 3 will begin on the 19th and run through the 24th. The director is Brother Richard Rutledge, here of TGRN, and the theme will be Make Me a Servant. Session 4 will begin June the 26th and run through July the 1st. The director is Brother J.J. Hendricks, and the theme of that will be a leadership session. And Session 5 will run July the 3rd through the 8th with Director Brian Braswell and the theme of Independence Day in Christ. So call 903-609-9791 and make plans for your young people to attend Camp Ida this summer. Coming up on July the 15th, Friday evening, from 7 to 9 p.m., there is going to be a gospel singing to be held at the Oak Grove Church of Christ, located at 14 County Road 3240 in Mount Pleasant, Texas. That's at the corner of FM 1402 North and County Road 3240. That's 3 miles north of Interstate 30 on FM 1402 North. After that, there will be refreshments held in the home of David and Janice McCain at 414 Dogwood Lane in Mount Pleasant. There will be maps provided with directions to the refreshments there at the singing. That's going to be a great time and a great gospel singing Friday evening, July 15th, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Oak Grove Church of Christ near Mount Pleasant, Texas. Also, the Oak Grove congregation announces their summer gospel meeting, and the theme is going to be The God We Serve. The speaker is going to be Brother Mike Vestal. That'll begin Sunday, August the 7th, and run through August the 11th. Sunday, in the Bible class hour, the theme will be The God We Serve is a Shepherd. In the worship period at 10:35, The God We Serve is a King. Sunday evening will begin at 7:30, so if you're relatively close to Mount Pleasant, you can then attend services at your home congregation and then come over at 7:30 p.m. for The God We Serve Went to the Cross. Monday evening, in conjunction with the Summer Youth Series, the theme will be The God We Serve is Not Dead at 7 p.m. Tuesday at 7 p.m., The God We Serve is a God You Should Know. Wednesday at 7 p.m., The God We Serve is a Holy Judge. And then the series of meetings will conclude Thursday evening with The God We Serve is the Great Father at 7 p.m. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Also, want to remind you that coming up is the Foundations Academy at the Memphis School of Preaching, training servants now and for the time to come. This year, the camp will run for youth from June 25th through July the 1st, and the theme is Here Am I to Worship. This is for young men ages 13 through 19 and young ladies of the same age who want to learn more about becoming better servants for God. There will be some joint chapel services, activities, and devotionals, but there will be separate boys and girls classes through the day, and these daily classes will include faith-building teaching on Christian evidences, holiness, worship, and moral purity, as well as practical instruction on how to be an effective servant. Young men will receive training in such areas as how to lead singing, presiding over the distribution of the Lord's Supper, leading in public prayers, effective public reading of Scripture, preparation of sermons, and the proclamation of God's Word in preaching. This instruction will include messages on how to study the Bible, how to develop an outline, how to introduce a sermon, how to conclude a sermon, and so forth. There will be training in preparing to become an elder in the Lord's church, preparing to become a deacon in the Lord's church. Young ladies will receive all kinds of training regarding the roles of ladies in the church and also in leading in ladies' services and girls' devotionals and things of that nature. Things to prepare the young people in the work of the church. Training in how to conduct a home Bible study, how to make hospital visits, remembering widows and orphans, comforting those who are grieving, preparing a bulletin, computer training, and much more. This is going to be June 25th through July the 1st. Applications are due by the 10th, so if you get that in the mail today, then they should still be able to accept that, hopefully. They will accept applications until they run out of housing space, and they are processed on a first-come, first-served basis. The campers will arrive Sunday afternoon, June 25th, and check-in begins at 3 p.m. Also, another event going on is another academy, and that is the Southwest Servants Academy. That's going to begin on June 26th and run through July the 1st. And you're invited to come grow with us. The Southwest Servants Academy is a work of the Southwest School of Bible Studies and is a week-long learning camp intended to help young Christians grow in faith and ability to serve the Lord's church. Students will attend courses taught by the Southwest faculty and Christian Women's Studies instructors. Students will build lasting friendships with their fellow campers. Studies and trainings will be conducted for Christian evidences and apologetics, preaching, song leading, Bible text studies, and more. It's a great opportunity to grow spiritually with old and new Christian friends. The daily schedule will begin at 8:30 and run through 3:30. There will be activities in the evenings. Wednesday evening, of course, we'll be meeting with the Southwest congregation there in Austin, Texas. On Friday, students, families, and instructors and friends will gather to dine together and acknowledge the week's accomplishments. This is for young men and women ages 15 through 18 and is limited to 20 men and 20 women campers. The enrollment is free. Complimentary text and supplies will be provided. The cost will be $40, and this is for the evening activities such as baseball games, bowling, putt-putt, and things of that nature. The purpose of this is to assist young men and women in developing greater self-awareness, greater personal spiritual life, greater preparation to help others spiritually, and greater ability to lead in church activities within the roles assigned men and women per the New Testament. So, for more information, call 512-282-2486. That's 512-282-2486 for the Southwest Servants Academies in Austin, Texas, located at the Southwest Church of Christ at 8900 Menchaca Road, Austin, Texas, 78748. That's what we have on our bulletin board this morning. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I hope you'll have your Bible ready and turn to the 25th chapter of Acts as we continue our study in the book of Acts as we march through the New Testament in 2016. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master. The 25th chapter begins, "Now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man, to see if there is any fault in him. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I offended in anything at all. But Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? So Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender, or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go. Now back to verse 1. It said, now when Festus had come to the province, after 3 days, he went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Festus had come to replace Felix as the governor. And after he had been there for 3 days, he makes the decision to go to Jerusalem. Notice in verse 2 and 3, then the high priest and the chief men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they petitioned him, asking a favor against him, that he would summon him to Jerusalem while they lay in ambush along the road to kill him. Festus would call upon the Jewish leaders when he came to Jerusalem. The leaders of the Jews are almost beyond belief. God's supposed people had rejected John the Baptist. They had rejected Jesus the Christ. They had killed both of them. And now they were systematically killing the apostles. They wanted Festus to have Paul sent to Jerusalem. And their plan then would be to ambush and murder him somewhere along the road to Jerusalem. This by these so-called pious and holy individuals. They quickly wanted to point out to Festus what an evil threat and an enemy of the Empire of Rome this Paul fellow was. Verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea, and that he himself was going there shortly. Therefore, he said, let those who have authority among you go down with me and accuse this man, to see if there is any fault in him. Festus thus rejects their request to have Paul brought to Jerusalem, and said that Paul would stay in Caesarea. It may be that Festus had become aware of the plans and schemes of the Jews. However, Festus, though, he invites any of the Jews to come along with him to Caesarea, and there they would be allowed to bring their accusations against Paul. Verse 6. And when he had remained among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, he commanded Paul to be brought. When he had come, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood about and laid many serious complaints against Paul, which they could not prove, while he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar, have I offended in anything at all. So we see that after spending some days in Jerusalem, Festus returns to Caesarea. And Festus begins the hearing for Paul the very next day after he returned. And the Jews assembled together to form and to make their accusations against Paul. Oh, they brought many charges of evil against Paul. They sounded good, but the problem was that they had zero proof and zero evidence to support their accusations. And of course they had no evidence because the accusations against Paul were completely false. Paul refutes the accusations, and he points out that he had not violated the law of the Jews, the temple, or the Roman government. Truth and Paul's innocence was of no more concern to the Jews then than they had been to the innocence of Christ some years earlier. Verse 9 says, but Festus, wanting to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and there be judged before me concerning these things? We see that Festus, as the newly appointed governor, desired in some way to gain favor with the Jews. And he decides to ask Paul if he is willing to go to Jerusalem to stand trial. Going to Jerusalem was certainly going to place Paul in danger. He would be in great danger because of the Jews' desire to murder him. Now, Festus may or may not have been aware of the level of the hatred of the Jews towards Paul and their desire to destroy him, but Paul was most certainly aware of it. Verse 10, so Paul said, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you very well know. For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar. Paul had not broken any of the Jewish laws, and Paul, who was a Roman citizen, had the right to appeal his case to Caesar. Paul stated that he was willing to suffer punishment for any law that he might have broken. In fact, he said that he was even willing to suffer the death penalty if he deserved it. But Paul knew and was an innocent man of all the false charges, and thus he would take his appeal to Caesar. Paul would be going before the Emperor Nero to be heard as a Roman citizen. Now we need to remember that earlier the Lord had told Paul that he would go to Rome. He would be alive so that he could teach the gospel in Rome. So Paul did not have to fear for his life on the trip. Acts chapter 23 and verse 11 said, "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" The purpose of Paul making it to Rome was for the furtherance of the gospel. It was certainly not to receive a fair trial. We must remember that the purposes of God are not the same as the purposes of men. But God's purposes are always worked out to his will in the affairs of men. And so Paul would be going because of the opportunity he would have to spread the gospel while in Rome, even while in shackles. What chance would Paul have for a fair hearing when the one sitting in judgment before him was perhaps the most evil man to ever walk the earth? If Nero was not the most evil man this world has seen, he was certainly in a group with very small company. And verse 12 says, "Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, 'You have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go.'" So Festus met with his advisors and ruled that Paul had the right to appeal to Caesar, and to Caesar, Paul would go. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up in verse 13 as Paul appears before Agrippa.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Mornings for the Master. We pick up in verse 13 of the 25th chapter of Acts, as Paul now comes before Agrippa. And after some days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. When they had been there many days, Festus laid Paul's case before the king, saying, "There is a certain man left a prisoner by Felix, about whom the chief priest and the elders of the Jews informed me when I was in Jerusalem, asking for a judgment against him. To them I answered, 'It is not the custom of the Romans to deliver any man to destruction. Before the accused meets the accusers face to face and has opportunity to answer for himself concerning the charge against him.' After a number of days, King Agrippa and Bernice, his sister, arrive in Caesarea in order to greet the new governor, Festus. They stayed in Caesarea for an extended amount of time, and after some days, Festus presents the dilemma to Agrippa concerning the Apostle Paul. He wanted Agrippa to know for sure that this was not a problem of his own creation, but that he had inherited the problem with this Paul fellow from Felix. And so Festus presents to Agrippa the details of this case involving the prisoner Paul. Festus informs Agrippa of what he had told the Jews concerning Paul, and that he would not violate the Roman custom. He had told the Jews that Paul would have his day in court before his accusers. Let's pick up in verse 17. "Therefore, when they had come together without any delay, the next day I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought in. When the accusers stood up, they brought no accusation against him of such things as I supposed, but had some questions against him about their own religion and about a certain Jesus who had died, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I was uncertain of such questions, I asked whether he was willing to go to Jerusalem and there be judged concerning these matters. But when Paul appealed to be reserved for the decision of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept until I could send him to Caesar." So Festus tells Agrippa of how he had quickly set up the hearing for Paul when he arrived in Caesarea. And he relates to Agrippa how the Jews had brought forth numerous accusations against Paul. And he tells him that the charges that the Jews had brought against Paul were not the charges that he had anticipated them bringing against Paul. Festus was surprised over the arguments about whether this Jesus was dead or alive. And so he tells Agrippa that the Jews were claiming that Jesus was dead and Paul was declaring him to be alive. Festus, as we recall, had desired to pass the buck concerning the matter of the Apostle Paul. Festus had no desire to get his new administration as the governor off on a bad foot as pertaining to his relationship with his subjects, the Jews. You see, Paul, though not wanting to treat Paul in an improper manner, that was really secondary, for his far greater concern than the treatment of Paul was his relationship with the Jews, his subjects. Paul had made his appeal to Caesar, and Festus grants approval. But Festus decided that he would wait for a convenient time in which to transport Paul to Jerusalem. And it was pointed out that the decision concerning Paul would be made by Augustus, the August One, the ruler. The American Standard Version translates it as the emperor. The reference, of course, the August One, the emperor, would be Nero. It would not be the one that was referred to years before as Augustus Caesar, but this August One would be Nero. Verse 22, then Agrippa said to Festus, I also would like to hear the man myself. Tomorrow, he said, you shall hear him. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at the Festus's command, Paul was brought in. King Agrippa had taken an interest in the case of Paul. And so, when he announced that he desired to hear the plea of Paul, it was scheduled that he would hear him the next day. This was going to provide opportunity for the fulfillment of that promise that the Lord had made to Paul back at his conversion, that he would speak before kings. Remember in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul was going to preach the word of the gospel to these Roman rulers. And that preaching by Paul would lead to the conversion of a number of individuals who lived in kings' palaces. In fact, if we look at Paul's letter to the Philippians, we see the proof of those conversions. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, speaking and giving greetings to the Philippians, notice who would greet the brethren in Philippi. Philippians 4:22. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. And so the next day comes, and King Agrippa and his sister Bernice arrive in the court, and quite fabulous ceremony, filled with pomp and spectacle. It had to have been quite an impressive scene to witness. And after they had arrived with much fanfare, the command was given for Paul to be brought in before the court. Burton Kaufman, in his commentary, noted that one may imagine the ostentatious display of royal apparel, military uniforms, soldiers at attention, the decorations and flags that adorn the hall of meeting, and overall, the proud demeanor of Roman deputy Festus, who would hardly have allowed himself to be surpassed in splendor by his royal guest. Little could any of them have realized that their place in history would turn almost together upon the important little man whom the soldiers brought chained into their presence. They did not know this, but Paul was well aware of it. The weakness of God is stronger than man. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. And so now let us continue in verse 24 of our text. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not specify the charges against him. So Festus opened the proceedings by standing before and addressing King Agrippa and, of course, the many other gathered VIPs that were present. Festus states to the gathered assembly that this man, Paul, is the one who is the center of all of this uproar and controversy among the Jews. Festus points out that they have made many accusations against Paul. They have accused him in Jerusalem and here, and that they were very insistent that Paul did not deserve to live another day and that he should be executed. In fact, they were more than willing to murder him if that is what it would take to achieve their goal. The only goal of the Jews was the death of Paul. Festus, however, points out to Agrippa that he had examined the case against Paul and that he had found that Paul had committed no crime worthy of deserving death. And he also brings to their attention that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had made his appeal to Caesar. And so Festus states that he decided to take him to Rome to be heard before Caesar in accordance with his appeal. And so chapter 25 comes to a close as Festus gives his reasoning for bringing him before Agrippa. He needed to bring him before Agrippa, for he needed a specific charge against Paul in order to take him to Caesar. And the current problem was that he did not have a valid charge against Paul. Festus felt that King Agrippa could help him in finding and being able to write out a formal charge to bring against Paul. The new governor, Festus, certainly had no desire to be humiliated and made a fool of before Nero when he took Paul to Rome. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Brother Hendricks are going to be covering the 26th chapter. And that is a fascinating chapter as Paul gives defense of himself. We will see Paul speaking of his youth. We will see him speaking of his zealous efforts for the Jewish faith. And he will recount to them his conversion there on the road to Damascus. And then we will see the discussion concerning Paul's life and the things he had done for the cause of Christ after his conversion. And we look forward to Brother Grota and Brother Hendricks also discussing perhaps one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible in verse 28, when Agrippa said to Paul, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." I hope that you are not in the position today of almost being persuaded to be a Christian. I'm so reminded of the hymn we often sing, "Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come, come today, almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus invites you here, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear, O wanderer, come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad that bitter wail. Almost but lost." Friend, don't let another day go by saying almost persuaded. Today is the day of salvation. If we can help you in some way to learn more of these matters concerning your salvation, we can assist you in that. We urge you to contact us at office@tgrn.org or call us at 903-537-4129 to help make sure that you don't go another day saying almost persuaded. This is Chris McElyea saying so long. Have a great day and tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master, as they will be looking at Acts chapter 26 tomorrow. Until next time, have a great day.